कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 2 एंड टेक्स्ट 8 एतेनैव हि अग्नोस्य कृतं स्यात् अकनिष्कृतम् यदा नारायणायेति जगादच्चतुरक्षरम् ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद द विष्णुदूतास कंटिन्यूड इवन प्रीवियसली While eating and at other times, this Ajamila could call his son saying, My dear Narayan, please come here. Although calling the name of his son, he nevertheless uttered the four syllables Narayana. Simply by chanting the name Narayana in this way, he sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of millions of lives. Purport. Previously, When engaged in sinful activities to maintain his family, Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan without offenses. To chant the holy name of the Lord just to contract one's sinful activities or to commit sinful activities on the strength of the chanting of the holy name is offensive. Namno balat yasahi papa buddhi. But although Ajamil engaged in sinful activities, He never chanted the holy name of Narayan to counteract them. He simply chanted the name Narayana to call his son. Therefore, his chanting was effective. Because of chanting the holy name of Narayana in this way, he had already vanquished the accumulated sinful reactions of many, many lives. In the beginning, he was pure. But although he later committed many sinful acts, He was offenseless because he did not chant the holy name of Narayan to counteract them. One who always chants the holy name of the Lord without offenses is always pure. As confirmed in this verse, Ajamil was already sinless. And because he chanted the name of Narayan, he remained sinless. It did not matter that he was calling his son. The name itself was effective. Hare Krishna. So Ajamila's pastimes we are continuing. So this verse has been spoken by Vishnu Dutas. And here the process of devotional service that The purport is so powerful that it is so difficult to speak on this verse. It's like showing the candle in front of the sun, so vivid and clear. The glories of the holy name. So this is, it looks very simple, just four syllables. The four syllable chain, the direction of Ajamil from downwards to upward. The process is so simple, but at the same time, because we are complicated, not we are, at least I am, complicated looks very difficult. But nevertheless, the Bhagavad Gita mentions five subject matters. And it is very clear in Bhagavad Gita the explanations of these five subject matters But the materialistic persons or the non-devotees, because of the complicated nature, because of the crooked nature, they see the completely opposite to the scriptural understanding. Spiritual life is very simple and uncomplicated, but without spiritual knowledge, everything becomes complicated and opposite. So the Bhagavad Gita describes five subject matters: Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, and Karma. But if you see the vision of a non-devotee or a materialistic person and the devotees, they're completely opposite. For example, Bhagavad Gita describes about the Ishvara or the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person many times doesn't have any conception about that. But even if you agree somehow or other about the existence of Ishvara, he considers he is that personality. Completely opposite. And one time Govindpuru mentions that in the material realm, things are on the platform of separation. Things can never be together. For example, the money which people work hard to accumulate will not stay in its place. It goes away. The body goes away. The opulences goes away. Everything doesn't stay. Because spirit and matter, they cannot stay together. They have to separate. So a person may claim himself to be God or Ishvara. But God by definition is full of six opulences. Shadaishwarya Paripurna Anurdva Saman. He has all the six opulences and nobody is equal to him. And all these six opulences are not that they are coming and going, but they are always present. So a materialistic person may claim himself to be Ishvara, but Prabhupada says that what beauty he has. Bad breath and ugly hair. So what kind of Ishvara he is? So the conception of a materialistic person of Ishvara is completely opposite. And even if he claims to be Ishvara, by showing some cheap magic show, it doesn't last for long. It is separated. And then Bhagavad Gita gives next subject matter, Jiva, the living entity. So living entities are not the material body, but the spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. This is a proper vision. But the materialistic person completely sees an opposite way. He thinks he is the body and he is the enjoyer of the world. And he completely convinces himself that he is the body. And he identifies himself to his body and maintains his ego according to his identification. In fact, that this philosophy is nothing new. Even previously, persons like Charvak, they have this philosophy. That we are the body, just convince yourself that you are the body and enjoy life. So opposite vision. And that is also not stays for a long time. It has been forcefully separated. The body, he has to leave the body. The attachment to the body will leave him. So again, we see there is a separation, cannot stay together. The spirit and matter cannot stay together. In fact, the Vaishnavas are so broad-minded, they can accommodate all the philosophy and all kind of misconceptions also in spiritual vision, that when they say that we are the body or the body is a self, it is to one sense it is true. The body and the self are non-different, they are the same. But the Vaishnavas tell that is not for the living entity but to the Lord. The body is a self. That's okay. The self is the body. Yes, that's true. But for Krishna, the self and the body is There is no difference between Krishna's body and the self. So we are the body, can only corroborate it to Krishna himself, that Krishna and his transcendental body are not different. And the materialistic society says that the material world is a place for enjoyment. But that is also can be accommodated by saying that this world is a place for enjoyment, but for not for us. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking in the morning walk, and he said, this material world is a very nice place for sense gratification. And the disciples become very happy. Oh, very nice, which means we have some hope. But then Prabhupada said, not for you. Krishna sense gratification. So the vision is opposite, and it cannot long last. It has to be separated. Then Prakriti, the material nature. The Bhagavad Gita explains material nature to be real, but the materialistic society, they think it is illusory. Asatyam apradishtam jagat ahur aneshwaram. Now this is illusory, but Prabhupada mentions in that purport that though it is illusory, though they say that this is illusory, but they are expert in enjoying the illusory nature of this material world. They are expert in enjoying the dreams. They are in the dream world. So again the vision is opposite. And also they think the material opulences and manifestation, it is a permanent. It is always permanent. It is going to be there always. But Bhagavad Gita again opposites that. The manifestation of the material world are not permanent. They come and go. But the materialist society, they have a big plan that this is eternal. This is going to last forever. So 80-year-old politician is planning next 20-year plan for the future of the country. So he's convinced that I'm going to live here for long and this place is going to become the place of peace and prosperity. Prabhupada says, how can you decorate the toilet? How can you live in the toilet so happily? Whatever fragrance articles you may put there, however clean that would be. But it's a place of toilet. It can never be a place for residence. But still, the materialistic society, they think the opposite way. The prakriti or the material nature is a permanent place. It will live forever. And kala, the next subject matter Bhagavad Gita describes is kala, or the time factor. And Krishna says, I am the time who is controlling everyone. And finally, through time, I devour and kill everyone. But a materialistic society, a karmi thinks the opposite way. He thinks, we are controlling the time. I am the controller of the time. Idam adya maya labdham imam prapse manoratham. That I am, everything is in my control. And very soon I am going to accumulate all the wealth. And very soon, I will prove that nobody is equal to me. If any enemies are there in case, very soon I will kill them. So the demonic mentality is that they think they are controlling the time. Completely the opposite principle. But the time in the material realm has three phases, past, present and future. So the material plan, the time never allows a person to stay in his present condition. By the time he thinks about the presence, it already becomes the past. And then being in the present is always hankering for the future and then laments for the past. Very rare people live in their presence. So, but he thinks that he is controlling the time, but the time is controlling in a cyclic way everybody in the material world. In Japan, they have this train system. And some devotees told that, and they are so conscious of time, and they think that they are controlling the time, and they are so paka in their time schedule. If the train comes few seconds late, which happens very rarely, then as soon as the passengers get out of the train, all the staffs from the railway, they come out to the platform and personally beg forgiveness from the passengers, and they return their fare or the travel just because few seconds late. That means our railway would go in loss if they follow this. But they think that they are controlling the time. See how much we are meticulous. We are strict to the time. But little if they know that actually the time is controlling everything. Again, the opposite vision. And the time doesn't allow things together. It separates. There cannot be any permanent by the effect of the time. It separates. And karma, the activities done by the living entities under the modes of material nature within the purview of time. So these karmic activities, material activities, the Bhagavad Gita says this is the only thing which is temporary. But the materialistic society or demonic persons takes the opposite way. The karma or my activities are eternal. And he is convinced that my activities and what my endeavor are going to be give permanent result for me. A beauty queen, I can never digest that I'll go old, or handsome Mr. Universe or so, he thinks that he'll be always like that. In fact, Chanakya Pandit says that if you at all want to enjoy this material world, you should convince you are never going to die. And your activities are glorious. So the materialistic vision is that the temporary activities are, they consider that to be a permanent asset. They think that I will be like this always. But the Bhagavad Gita says, mogasya moga karmana, that all your endeavors and hopes will be frustrated. So we see that the vision of the materialistic society is completely opposite to the vision of spiritualists. But here in the episode of Ajamil, we can see that how by having the opposite vision against the scripture, one cannot achieve what he wants to achieve. So what is the whole hope of materialistic society, the demonic mentality? That I don't want to be separated from my opulences. I don't want to be separated from the material world. I don't want to be separated from my body. But the fact is that the very fact we are living in the material world, the spirit and matter cannot live together. It has to be separated. And even the matter and matter, it cannot be together all the time. We should separate all the time. The rainy season, the water comes to the earth, stays for some time. But in the summer season, again, the water is separated from the earth. Sometimes the wind blows. Sometimes the wind doesn't blow. So things, matter and matter cannot stay together all the time. It has to be separated. Spirit and matter cannot stay all the time. It has to be separated. But spirit and spirit, there may be apparent separation. In the absolute realm, the highest understanding is that of separation. But that separation in the spiritual realm, it appears to be apparent separation, but it is of actually union. In the material plane, when there is a separation, it leads to lamentation and anxiety. When a rich man loses his money, is so much of anxiety and worry. When a husband loses his beloved wife, he is so much suffering. And relations within the material world, when it's separated, it gives anxiety and frustration. But in spiritual, even though apparent separation is there, but that separation increases love and attachment. So in this way, in spiritual realm, there is no separation. The separation actually doesn't cause us anxiety, lamentation and misery, but in fact it gives the highest spiritual ecstasy in the life of a devotee. So when you see in the episode of Ajamil that we can, if you apply this principle in his life, Ajamil fell down from his Brahminical platform and he thought that I am the enjoyer, I am the Ishvara, and he was convinced himself that the goal of life is to enjoy my senses, I am this body. The jiva considered himself to be the body. And then what the jiva should do? Enjoy the prakriti. Enjoy the prakriti, the material nature with its various manifestation, primarily of sex life, of women, and that's to be enjoyed. I am the body, I am the enjoyer, and this is to be enjoyed for unlimited amount of time, kala. And this karma, whatever this activity, is going to last forever. This is what Ajamila's mood. The mood of a materialistic, demonic mentality. The very fact the word prakriti, it's a very special word in Sanskrit, that is automatically refers to a purusha. For example, just like a word, if you say, I am a slave, but I am nobody's servant. It doesn't make sense. The very fact slave means that refers to master. The very fact wife, that refers to husband. So when it say prakriti, that itself is denotes that it is under somebody's control. Maya adhyakshena prakriti shruyati chacharacharam. Prakriti means there is a supreme purusha who is overseeing it, controlling it. So when a person wants to enjoy the prakriti without the cooperation, without the sanction of the purusha, or as a competitive spirit against the purusha, the original master of the prakriti, then actually is an illusion. So Ajamil was in that situation, that enjoying the prakriti, and he thought that this life is going to be forever. It's never going to be separated. But the very fact, the nature of the material plane, there is separation. So the material world, the spirit and matter cannot stay together all the time. There has to be separation. So Ajamil was considering himself as Ishvara, enjoyer, considered himself to be his body, and want to enjoy the prakriti, and thinks that I am controlling the time, it never going to be separated. And he thought his karma to be going to be permanent activity. But then the time came for separation. The Yamadutas came and the time has come that he has to be separated. But what is the difference between devotee and non-devotee? Both of them are going to die. But a non-devotee or a materialistic person, when the time comes for separation, he becomes aghast. He comes in anxiety. He starts lamenting. He starts hankering. So Ajamil, same thing happened. The time came for separation because his vision at that time was completely opposite to that of the scripture. So the time came for separation. He could not take that. On the other hand, when a devotee meets such a phase of separation, he is indeed more happy. Because when the spirit is separated from the matter, there is a time for celebration. That I am going to be reunited with my original master Krishna, the Supreme Spirit. But when a person doesn't understand this principle, he becomes completely occupied by anxiety and lamentation. So Ajamil, when he sees this moment of separation have come from his senses, which gave him pleasure all the time, from his wife, the predominant prakriti or the object of enjoyment for Ajamil, separation from that, it could not digest that. And beloved relatives, his sons, he could not digest that. That became, that it gave so much of anxiety for him, pain for him. So that separation became anxiety and pain for Ajamila. But other hand, if you read Ajamila's pastime again, that when he becomes a devotee, then goes to Haridwar, and the time came to go to the spiritual world, there is also separation. But the Bhagavatam explains, he just gave up this material body designation and he took his original spiritual body and climbed on the golden Viman and ascended to the spiritual world. So there, because the vision of a devotee is that of, that I am not this body, the Supreme Lord is Krishna, this vision is as that of the scriptures, a proper vision, then we see when a devotee wants to be separated from the material world, he is not in anxiety or in lamentation. So a devotee and non-devotee may appear to be the same in the material world, apparently doing the same occupation, but we can see the difference in this particular time of separation. So the whole spiritual understanding is that how much we have got the detachment from the material pleasure. So Ajamil was facing this problem of misunderstanding the real purpose of, real understanding of the scripture. But then the whole thing turned upside down just because of proper understanding. Just because he chanted the holy names of the Lord, Supreme Lord Krishna, that one activity completely changed the opposite vision to proper vision. So the process is also simple, that so much time and so much endeavor it takes to understand things properly. But when you understand things properly, the position of the Lord, the position of the self, the position of the material world, the activities and the time factor, then our activities becomes very simple. So Ajamil was complicating his life by the materialistic activity, but by performing devotional service, and that is simple activity, what the Lord is saying, just chant the holy names of the Lord. Just by chanting the holy names of Lord Narayan, he again situated back in his normal condition. And when he chanted the holy names of Narayan, he immediately could attract the Vishnu Dutas. Which means, to become a non-devotee, which he thought he was enjoying the life, he has to endeavor so hard. Do so much of endeavor, sinful activities. And doing after doing all these things, and he understood his position is very insecure. But to come to the permanent situation of being in the Supreme Lord, the endeavor is not so hard. Just chant the holy names. So the whole devotional process is so simple, that just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, just by calling the name of the Lord, that one can be resituated in his constitutional nature. The process is so simple. So the whole Ajamila's episode is giving us an understanding that to be in the material world and to be a materialistic person, it's actually very complicated. One has to endeavor very hard. Even Prahlada Maharaj says, to do sinful activities, one has to endeavor very hard. But to be a devotee in an economical way or in all points of view, or the food habits or health-wise, things are more simple. So here, the Ajamil episode is giving a lesson that how by being a simple devotee and how sincerely by taking to the holy names of the Lord, one can be resituated in a permanent condition. Otherwise, however complicated hard work, hard endeavor, we may perform in the materialistic society and life, things become more complicated, and ultimately the result will be we will be situated in a temporary situation which leads to anxiety and lamentation. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned in these purports, especially when Ajamila repents for his sinful activities, Prabhupada again and again mentions in the purports that how by chanting the holy names of the Lord sincerely, we will be resituated in our permanent position of serving the Supreme Lord. In one of the purports, Prabhupada writes about the holy names. It looks very simple that just understand we are not this body and we are surrounded of Krishna and have this consciousness and practice devotional service. But Prabhupada writes, though it is so simple, it is not easy. And Prabhupada gives a technique, a solution that how we can come to this consciousness. Again, the solution is the basic thing of Krishna conscious principle. So Prabhupada gives a solution how we can maintain this consciousness that we are not this body, we are servant of Krishna. Prabhupada says in the purport of the text 38, the beginning is to misidentify the body to as oneself. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita begins with a spiritual instruction that one is not the body, but he is within the body. But Prabhupada says this consciousness can be possible only if one chants the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And always keep oneself in the association of devotees. That it is looks very simple, logical, to understand that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, servant of Krishna. But Prabhupada says, this consciousness can be possible only if we chant the holy names of Krishna. Otherwise, it will become a logical and intellectual theory. When we hear the Bhagavad Gita course, when I hear the analogy of the bird within the cage, it looks very simple and obvious fact that, yeah, of course, this makes sense. We are not the body. Anybody in Krishna conscious society can easily understand. The easiest point to understand is the car and the driver example. It makes sense. We are not his body. Or this is my hand, the example. Are you the hand? So most logical and simple thing is to understand we are not the body. And sometimes we feel that as soon as when I heard this Bhagavad Gita course or lectures in ISKCON, that this is it, that this is very simple. And by giving this one example, by the time I give the example and turn to the audience, they should be ready to take the beats and chant Hare Krishna. So to explain we are not this body is so simple, but those who conducted Gita course, we can experience that it is not so easy to give this simple message to touch the heart of the audience. It's not that people are fools. For example, the college, the students are learning so much of complicated theorems and formulas and so difficult, but somehow they're understanding and passing. But to give this one small understanding that we are not this body, we have to really work hard, give so many examples and so many, you know, analogies, jokes and the PowerPoint presentation. But after giving all these things, at the end of the class, somehow or other, we don't find everybody is, we feel that, oh my God, I got a revelation. Like sometimes if you say that you got a lottery ticket, you know, or your father died, you will get a shock, or you'll get, you know, happiness that I got a lottery ticket. But when we say that we are not this body, it's actually a lottery ticket. Actually, it is a shock for our life. My God, for so long I thought I am the body, but, you know, I am not the body. That means all the material problems are solved. So we are supposed to be in ecstasy actually. But we don't see after giving the Gita course or the second day, third day lecture that the audience are, Yeah, it looks logical, or maximum logical, that's all. But we don't find they come in ecstasy. Oh, yes, I understood my goal of life. Very rare cases. But that means, Prabhupada says, this consciousness is not possible just by hearing a logical statement. This consciousness that we are not this body, we are servant of Krishna, can only be possible, Prabhupada says, only if one chants the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra, and always keep oneself in the association of devotees. So Ajamila's pastime is evidence for that. He considered himself the body, he considered himself the enjoyer, but the one glimpse of the holy name completely turned his life. That he is convinced he is not his body, he is servant of Krishna. And that resituated him in his permanent position as a pleasure-giving servant of Sri Krishna. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada concludes the Bhagavad Gita by saying that by proper use of that independence, he comes under the direct order of Krishna. Thus he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency. So we are in the situation of a temporary, illusory situation, thinking we are the controller, we are the Lord. But by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we are resituated in the permanent situation. That is, servant of Sri Krishna. That can be only possible by chanting the holy names of the Lord. That is a simple message of Srimad Bhagavatam. That just chant, not chant the holy name, but chanting means hear the holy names, Hare Krishna and Rama. The more a person could able to hear the holy names while chanting, then the more he is resituated in his constitution position, that he is not his body, servant of Krishna. So Prabhupada makes the solution so simple, that chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That is solution that we can be situated in our constitutional position. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. If there is any comments, corrections or questions, I can take. Granthira Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.